Amen. Brother Tom Robertson's pastor of the Hawksbill Baptist Church up in the Shenandoah Valley. And he's a real blessing. Been in camp meeting several years now in a row, 9 or 10 years in a row, I guess. Will you help make welcome this morning, Brother Tom Robertson, as he comes to bring our first message this morning? I appreciate Brother Tom, Miss Judy. They're a blessing. They have a wonderful camp meeting in September. If you get a chance to go up, you'd enjoy it.
Love you, buddy. Love you, too.
God bless you, buddy.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
It certainly is a joy to be with y'all this morning. Brother Billy's been a good friend of mine, been a help to me in the ministry, and I'm just thankful for his blessings. You know, we got a little church up there in the Lord gave us about 2.5 years ago now, and seeing it grow. It's a blessing. Seeing some folks saved.
Amen.
Really excited. I wanted to ask you, just pick your brain just for a second here. We're looking at getting our first church van. I got a young fella, or younger, I say younger than me now, but he's probably in his 40s. He's got a couple boys. He comes real faithful, loves the Lord, in the Word of God, and Lord's blessed him. And he's been inviting some of the neighborhood boys to come that are friends with his sons and been getting to come. We had one of them saved here and baptized about a month ago. And he's got a couple more he'd like to round up. So we've been praying about it. Just Lord bless to see if we can get us our first church van. I'm going to get him round up all them boys down there in the neighborhood and bring them along. But he lives in Elkton, which is about 30 minutes from our church. But y'all keep at it in a matter of prayer. We're looking to try, if y'all know any lines or anybody where we can get one, looking to buy a good little church van. But anyway, just thought I'd throw that out there at you this morning. But it's a blessing to be here this morning. We've been studying and preaching in our church. In fact, I really appreciate the messages I hear this week. It's been going along what we've been studying on seeking the Lord, Brother Billy, seeking Him, having a desire in our heart to seek the Lord. And I'm so glad I sought Him years ago now. It's been 33 years now since I accepted Christ as my Savior. It's 35 years since I accepted Christ as my Savior. And 19, I can't even count this morning, can you? 36. Gosh, I'm getting old. Anyway, but since I first saw Him and found His mercy, and I'm so thankful for that here this morning. If you would, take your Bibles to the book of Micah in the Old Testament, chapter 7. I want to share something I've been studying here, and I hope to be a blessing to you along that line as far as seeking after Him. And, you know, we're living in a time in our country here today. Oh my, things that are just heartbreaking, aren't they?
Yes, sir.
Just to see the way our politics and our government and the corruption and the wickedness that's in our land, I don't know about you, it breaks your heart. Breaks my heart. I've got 3 little grandchildren now, and the oldest one just turned 3, and I wonder about our country as they're growing up. I pray for them. I pour my heart out to the Lord, to God protect them. I find myself here lately praying the Lord's Prayer a lot. Lord, deliver us from evil.
Amen.
Lord, thy kingdom come.
Amen.
Thinking about the things of the Lord, you know. But I pray that God protect us and have His hedge about us. And that's one of the things I want to look at here too in Micah chapter 7 here this morning. But before we get into the Word, y'all help me to pray here. Lord, again, I just want to thank You for Your many blessings. Lord, how You've challenged me. Lord, how You've blessed. And Lord, You've given grace. You've given mercy. You've allowed me, Lord, to come into Your presence, Father, and Your blood that we plead here before us, Lord, it cleanses us from all sin. Lord, we know that we're nothing apart from You, Lord. And Lord, we need You here today. Help us here to worship here today. Help us as we open up Your Word of Life, Lord, just to find greater grace here this morning. Lord, just to allow us into Your presence these few moments here today. Lord, that we might be able just to see Your goodness and Your mercy and, Lord, Your love for us. And thank You, Father, for adopting us into Your family. Thank You, Father, for the inheritance. Lord, we're looking for so many wonderful things and many blessings in Your Word here. But, Lord, we also know, Lord, that Your Word is the key here today. Your Holy Spirit guiding us through Your Word. And, Lord, help us here today. I pray for the folks here today. And Lord, help me here, Lord, to Your glory and give You the praise.
Yes.
And thank You, Father, for what You'll do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Micah begins, if y'all have studied any on the prophet Micah, we've been going through the Old Testament prophets on our Sunday night services, and we finished up Micah just a few weeks ago. But this one text here, I've been on my heart still heavy, and I'd like to share with you. In chapter 7, verse 1, Micah, he cries out, "Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first fruit or the first ripe fruit. He says, the good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie and wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, the judge asketh for a reward. The great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire. So they wrap it up. In other words, they're all kind of in it together. They're all covering each other's tracks. He says, the best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies are the men of his own house. That's pretty rough, isn't it? But look what he says in verses 7. Therefore, in other words, because of all these things in the times that he was living in, he says, therefore, I'll look unto the Lord. I'll wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. I like that verse right there. That verse right there has been summing up what's been searching in my heart here today. He starts out, woe is me. He lists the things of the nation that he's living in, and the trouble and the sin and the wickedness that's in this whole nation that's corrupt. And yet he gives the solution. He says, because of all these things, he says, I'm not going to let these things discourage me. I'm not going to let these things hinder me. I'm not going to let them keep me down. I'm going to look to the Lord. I'm going to look to the Lord. Just like the psalmist cries, I'll look to the hills from whence cometh my help. I'm going to look to the Lord. Oh, I'm so glad I have the Lord as my Savior here today. I don't know how anybody can stand here apart from the Lord here today, having the Lord, having his word to guide us and looking and seeking after. But anyway, as I looked at the corruption and the things, and you all, there's a lot of folks in my church that are very concerned there's just so much going on, and it is discouraging to a lot of folks, isn't it? A lot of people have a lot of questions, don't they? What's going to happen? Where's our nation headed? Where are we going? Let me just share a little. I don't want to shift gears too much, but I'll share a vice with you this morning. I know we're not to have things in there, but I like old things. I do. I like old guns and old coins, old just anything, antiques. I love it. You know what I mean? I like getting a hold of something that's 200 years old. And it's like it's been a time capsule. Have y'all ever seen things that have come out of the attic, so to speak? And you know, metal like steel and brass and copper and, well, gold doesn't tarnish, but most of your metals will change. They'll have a patina on them after a couple of hundred or 150 years. They'll get a color to them that you just can't fake. It's just, and I like seeing something that's old that comes out of work. And, you know, wow, you know, not that I'm worshiping it or idolatry or anything like that. I don't pray to it. I don't, you know what I'm saying? It's just a thing, you understand? But I appreciate the history, and I think this was in our forefathers' hands. This was at a time when our nation was one nation under God. I mean, I love America. You understand? I love our country. I love our history, our heritage. And to get into some of these old things I just get in the mind of, man, imagine what it was 200 years ago when our forefathers, when the Constitution was just ratified, when George Washington was president, or you understand, when we get into when this nation was one nation under God, you know, principles. And I look back to times in our country, you know, when it was a different time, where we've strayed so far today. Micah is kind of looking like this, the way I look at it, in Micah chapter 1. He says, woe is me. He's concerned. He says, I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, in verse 1, and the grape gleanings of the vintage. There's no cluster to eat. In other words, he's missing the first fruits. He's looking back at a time. He's a Jew, knowing the history of Judaism, knowing the history of the nation of Israel, knowing the history of God's heritage. He understands. He's looking back to a time when King David was on the... You know, he's looking back to a time when Solomon built the temple. He's looking back to a time you remember reading where Solomon got up on that scaffold on his knees in front of the whole congregation, and he prayed, and he let him, and the fire of God fell and consumed the sacrifice. And Asaph and the singers and the descendants of Asaph, the psalmist and David, and brother, they all sang with one voice. They all had one heart. They were in one accord, like the early New Testament church. They loved the Lord, and God's presence was there. And he's looking back to that time, and he remembers back the time of the history of the nation of Israel when God's blessing was there, when God had his hedge about them, when God was protecting them, when he was blessing them, when he was giving forth the rain, and that Jezreel Valley was fruitful, and Naboth's vineyard, and all the things. You understand when we think about the blessing of the Lord, he's looking back to a greater time, and he sees his nation now where it's at in its corruptness, and it's discouraged to him. And he's crying out, "Whoa, oh, I wish things were the way they used to be." Kind of, you understand what I'm getting at? He's really just, he says, "I wish it was like when it was the first ripe, when God wanted to bless us, when we were God's chosen nation," when he's looking and desiring back to that first ripe. But now he sees the judgment of God coming. He sees it coming on his nation. You know, Micah is contemporary with Isaiah, about the same time frame. Many have referred to the book of Micah as the miniature version of Isaiah. I don't know if y'all heard that or not, but and I look back at Isaiah even, and I look. Let me just share something here. While he's looking at these the wickedness of his land, and he sees the day of the watchman, the day of thy visitation coming. Now he's talking about God's judgment coming. Okay. Now, look back in Isaiah with me just a little bit. Look at Isaiah, just to compare in chapters 1. He says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger." In verse 4, they have gone away backward. There, verse 7, "Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers, devoured in your presence. It's desolate and overthrown by strangers." Y'all see any similarities what's going on in our country today? Amen. This is what was going on in Micah and in Isaiah's time. The land under the judgment of the Lord. God's hedge being removed. In fact, if you'll read it on through there, he calls them the rulers of Sodom and you rulers of Gomorrah. I mean, he's not pulling any punches. And yet, in spite of all their sin, he looks to them in verses 18. He says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." He offers redemption. He offers mercy and forgiveness. If we'll just turn from our sin, God promises to heal, you understand, and to bless. But they wouldn't hear. They wouldn't. They refused. They rebelled. And of course, the Bible says they'll be devoured with a sword. You can read on down through the first five chapters there. It's really it's just amazing the similarities that are going on. You know this phrase, "History repeats itself." I believe we're seeing just as it was in the days of Israel. God's married wife, you know, that natural branch was cut off because of unbelief and turning from the Lord. I believe we're seeing the very same thing now in the time of the Gentiles as we're coming down to the end here. You understand? I see history repeating itself. You understand? We're getting away from the Lord toward God. And of course, by the way, that's ultimately leading to the natural branch being grafted back in again. Brother, what I'm getting at is you keep your eyes looking to the Lord because he's coming very soon. So anyway, when we look at all these things, well, I was looking at in chapters 5 of Isaiah. Isaiah, to compare with Micah, looking at the first fruits and looking back to a time of blessing. Isaiah says, "I will sing to my well-beloved the song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved had the vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and he gathered out the stones thereof. He planted it with the choicest vine, and he built a tower in the midst of it and made a wine press therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes." And he says, "Now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard, what more, or what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth what? Wild grapes. Now go to, I tell you, what I'll do to my vineyard. I'll take away what? The hedge thereof." That's what Micah is seeing here, I believe. He's seeing a time where God's judgment, he's sitting right here, the day of thy visitation is coming. In other words, God's going to judge this nation. We're laden with iniquity. We're laden in our sins. We've forsaken the Holy One of Israel. We've forsaken the blessing, and God's going to now remove the hedge. Our borders, everything is collapsing. I mean, we're seeing so many things that are comparable, you understand, of where we're at in our day today. And I look back and I love our country. I do. I thank God for our president that we've got right now. I do. I pray for him. I really do. I pray that God give him wisdom and God give him understanding and direction to, you know, to expose this. And it is, and I don't want to discourage, I don't want to remind you of the scourging, because I want to point us to a place to where our victory lies. And ultimately, don't let this world is going to run its course. You understand? This world has already been, everything is coming according to what God has already said in his word. I'm going to look to the Lord. Micah, he says right here, he says in verses 7, therefore. In other words, the writing's on the wall, folks. But therefore, what did Josh say is for me and my house? He says, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. I appreciate what Brother Tom was preaching there yesterday morning there in Psalm 27. That was, by the way, that was a great verse. Let me read that one again to you in case y'all missed it yesterday morning. It's a great verse. Psalm 27, he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will what? I'll seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to acquire in this temple. I'm telling you, no matter how bad things get, or no matter how, don't let it discourage you, brother. You get your eyes and you get your mind in the Word. You get back into the fellowship with the Lord and you just put your heart and you understand in seeking after Him. And brother, all these things, my eyes is on Him. You understand? That's where my help's coming. That's where I'm going to take my encouragement. I don't know about you, but I love getting at these camp meetings. I love getting around you folks. I love getting around good men of God who are studying and I'm not a very educated. People ask me sometimes where I've just got a high school education. I just answered the call to preach and been studying myself over the years. And people ask me what kind of education you got, Brother Bill. I always tell them I got BSM. That's my university was BSM, Backside of the Mountain. Backside of the Mountain U. That's where all this comes in, Brother Nathaniel. What are you getting at, Brother Tom? I says, I have learned in my life. First of all, he says, I will look unto the Lord. I want to break this down in just some areas in my life where I have sought him. And I hope each of you in your heart here today have sought the Lord. I remember a time when I first began searching. I know the Bible says no man seeketh after me, no man understands, there's none that doeth good. I understand all that. But I remember the word of God being sowed in my heart. I was 23 years old, and I began literally searching. I mean, I really wanted to know. I'd heard the gospel. I knew. I'd been taught. Even as a kid in Sunday school growing up, I'd been taught. I remember my grandma, Brother Billy, took me to Bible school when I was a little boy, and I learned two Bible verses. And, of course, the first one was Jesus wept. That was it. But the second one I learned was, and it stuck with me on that day, was John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I never forget that God began dealing with my heart, and I never will forget that day. I began really searching. I wanted to know. I was tired of my life. I was into drugs and alcohol and given over to the devices of this world and the things of this world that just engrossed me. And I wanted to change. I couldn't break from it. It just seems like I didn't have it. And yet I wanted to be clean. And I was wondering, can I be saved? Is it real? I remember an old preacher come knocked on my door one night. And he asked me if I was saved. And me and my pride, and I had some buddies there in my wickedness, I mocked him. Oh, yeah, preacher, I'm saved. My buddies over here, they're saved too, and they're over in the corner. You know, that was funny, right? But that old pride's a wicked thing, isn't it, Brother Billy? I'll never forget that night after he left. I could tell that he was sincere. I could tell that he was concerned about me. And I just kind of blew him off, you know. Later that night, the Holy Spirit was still there. I never slept that night. I began to realize in my heart that man was sincere and he had something. I saw there was something about him that was glowing, that he had something that I didn't have. And I didn't even know if salvation was real, but if it was real, I come to realize I didn't have it. I mean, if this was real, if the Lord is real, if I can truly be saved, I knew I wasn't there. And it got me searching. And I began to seek. And as Brother Thomas talked about yesterday morning, Brother, Jeremiah 29:13, it talks about it, Jeremiah, it talks about Israel being to take it in text in their captivity, if they'll turn from their captivity, if they'll see even in the land of captivity. He says, if you shall seek me and you shall what? Find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I'd come to that place in my life, no matter what. Oh, Lord, can I be clean? No matter what, Lord, I want to be forgiven. I want to be saved. Lord Jesus, would you forgive? And I didn't even get it out. I didn't give my heart to the Lord already. I'm calling upon the Lord, you understand? And he saved me. I mean, the weight, the burden of my sin was gone. I knew he was there. I knew that he had forgiven me. I was seeking after him with my heart, you see. A few weeks ago, I preached a message in 1 Peter chapters 2 at our little church. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may what, grow thereby. See, when I got saved, I found the Lord. I found salvation. I found forgiveness of my sin. I knew, what a blessing. You talk about a new creature. Old things passed away and old things become. It was a new day. I mean, I was reading in Psalms. I'll never forget the very first day. I'm going to read my Bible, brother. I'm trying to start out right, you know. Guess where the Lord led me, Brother Billy? It was in Psalm chapter 1. I opened up the book of Psalms. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight's in the law of the Lord, and in this law he doth but meditate day and night. And see, that was me. It was in my heart. Even at nighttime, I couldn't sleep. I'm thinking about angels. I'm thinking about the Lord. I didn't know two Bible verses, but I couldn't get God out of my heart. I didn't want him out of my heart. I wanted, you know what I'm saying? I was seeking after him. I desired him. And I started getting it, and the Lord spoke to me, and he's been speaking to me through his word all my life. I mean, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the birth, the new birth when you're seeking it. And see, so I began to desire the sincere milk of the word, you see. See, I didn't get saved and use God just for a fire escape. I wanted a change in my life. Amen. I wanted a difference. You understand? I wanted to be clean. And I still desire to be clean. And the way that we do that is through his word. Now you're clean through the word, which I've spoken to. Washing of the water by the word, right? Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me. Isn't that right? Yes, sir. Search the scriptures. And that verse here too started coming alive, Brother Billy. The more I started searching the scriptures, the more I saw them testifying of Christ. The more I started seeing Jesus coming off of every page. The more even in the Old Testament law, as I started reading and studying the feasts of Israel and all the things, I'm seeing the Lord. I'm seeing the Passover lamb. I'm seeing the sacrifices. I'm seeing everything that God has done to fulfill his word. And Jesus is the living word, by the way. And that word made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the Bible says. And it's starting to... I'm seeking him. There's where my help is. This old world's running its course. And it's going to run its course to the judgment and the wrath of Almighty God. You understand? I'm looking for the Lord to come. I'm looking for the Lord. That's where my help is come. And so Micah, he's seeing and he's feeling a little discouraged. He's seeing his country crumbling all around him. He sees all the wickedness. He knows that God's judgment is coming. And yet he says, therefore, because of that, he says, I'm going to look to the Lord. My desire is still unto the Lord, my Savior. My desire is still unto the Lord. He says, I'll wait for the God of my salvation. He says, my God will hear me. I like that. Amen. So therefore, I'll wait. I'll look to the Lord. Where's your heart's desire here today? Amen. I know, I mentioned, you know, there's times we can allow things to control us and things in our life that seem to want to rob us from communion. Isn't that right? If we're not careful, we allow, but I appreciate, the message is our all to where it's our heart's desire to everything that we are. It doesn't matter what is this world has to offer. My heart's desire is to grow and to learn and to, you understand, this is what we need here today. And that's why the churches are so weak, I'll be honest with you. Most of the members are content just to get it on Sunday morning. They're not in the word. They're not on their knees praying. I mean, it just seems like unless they need something, of course, unless somebody gets sick or something, you know, I'm not trying to be critical here. So I'm just trying to say our heart's desire ought to be right here every day of our life, searching the scriptures, seeking it, seeking that communion with him. oh, I found a sweet spot, and I got a little spot on my altar there at the little church I can't wait to get to on Sunday mornings. Driving down the road, I'm praying, you know, Lord, and I'm getting there, and I got a little spot there. Lord, you've given such great grace. Lord, I don't know why you've been so good to me. I feel the blessing of the Lord. Lord, you've given so much. I pray for my family and them little children. I pray my little grandchildren, while they got me spoilt rotten. They got me spoilt. What a blessing, Brother Billy. And then I think of the church family and the folks that have needs. And I begin to seek and call and feel God's word. I think, God, Brother Billy, I know y'all going to think crazy. I kick my shoes off when I get up to the altar.
Amen.
I feel holy ground. I'm telling you what, I feel the goodness of the Lord. I feel God's blessings on my life. I just want to draw near Him.
Amen.
I'll look to the Lord. He's my salvation. I'll wait for the God of my salvation. Amen.
Amen.
He's my Savior. And He's my Savior to come. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Yes,
let me share this one verse here, and I'll close. I know we've got some other folks here that are going to be preaching here this morning, but I'm looking for Him. I'm kind of like Abraham of old, looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. Amen. Having not received the promise yet, but seeing it afar off, they were looking for, you understand, the promise of the Messiah. You and I are still looking for that same promise. I believe He's already come. He's already died for our sin, but He's coming again. Amen. I'm looking for that promise. In Isaiah, in chapters 25, the Bible says in verses 8, He'll swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and He'll take the rebuke off of His people, and He'll take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. In verses 9, here it is right here. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We've waited for Him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Oh, brothers, I'm looking for Him. I began my search years ago. I've desired to grow and desire. I'm trying best, searching the Scriptures, looking at it. That's where all of us are. But I'm still looking for Him. Amen. I'm looking for Him to come physically. I'm looking for that day, that bright and glorious morning, when He comes, when the heavens are split open, Brother Billy, and He's going to descend from heaven with a shout. I'm looking for that day. And brother, when that day comes, you know, we go through things and we get discouraged about it. Don't let the things of this world discourage you. Brother, you've got a Redeemer that's coming very soon. One day He's going to come. This is a day I've been waiting for. I mean, one day He's going to come and our faith is going to be sight. One day we're not going to look through that glass darkly anymore, Brother Billy, but we'll see Him face to face. And as He preached there, was it 1 John chapter 3, 1, 2? Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Goes on to say later on, and he that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure. Why is it? Because I have a desire. I'm searching for Him. I want Him in my life. I want that sweet communion. I want that sweet joy. How about you here today? Amen. Don't you want to draw a little closer to the Lord here today? Get the things out of our life that are weighting us down. Search Him with our whole heart earnestly. Seeking with our hearts here today. I'm going to tell you something. He's coming soon. And brother, when that day comes, I know this is the day I've been waiting for. Amen. I sought Him as a young man. I found Him. I'm searching Him every day, even in my Christian walk. I'm searching for Him here today.
Amen.
We'll see Him here soon. Amen. Brother Billy, if you'll come.